yesterday. The good news is they lost it to the A's. And so the Giants and Braves on 14:30 tonight. Giants take 2 of 3, and the A's salvage one, and the A's and the Angels are over on 790 tonight. I'll tell you all about the specificity of the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500, or on the web, precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedules, I'll tell you about the great fundraising through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, and the great work he does throughout the Valley. Jackson with me today, our de facto co-host, will go over all the current news recruiting-wise at Fresno State. We will talk about Harris, we'll talk about Jones, we'll talk about Green, and we'll talk about the fact that Jackson had a birthday the other day and he is now finally old enough to drink. That's right, provided he waited until his mid-30s to start drinking. Anyway, we'll get to Jackson in just a couple of minutes. But first, as always, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you, beginning with our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see them all over the place with the avocado green and blue trucks. I've had them in to do work. They are really professional people. I had them in even during COVID, and they're very timely, just great folks to be around, the competitive pricing, anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. Give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or you can schedule online at leesair.com. Also, in addition to that phone number, mark down the Lee's Air hotline. Jackson's waiting on that line right now, and it's Al Gonzo and Phil. Not only bring up their guests on their outstanding shows, but they can take callers from the general public. So mark it down, 559-320-1430. As far as forecast goes, for the first full weekend of summer, you can't ask for more than this. A 90 today, a low of 61, and then it's going to be 84 and 85 over the weekend. There's a system up in Alaska that's actually impacting some of the northern part of the very northern part of the state with precipitation. But what it's bringing us here is a lot of wind, sometimes up to 25 miles an hour in certain areas of the valley, but also cooler temperatures. And so you've got an 84 and an 85, and maybe more amazingly, a low in the 50s, admittedly 59, but it's not every day at this time of year we see lows in the 50s. Then we'll start to move back up on Monday, a 91, a 93 for the high on Tuesday, and then as we get into July, on Wednesday, a 92 there, and the extended, we go 94, 96, and the 4th of July looks like 99 right now. I said yesterday it might have been as low as 95, but it looks like we're going to get close to 100. The winds are going to be around 10 miles an hour after the breezes of this weekend, so not bad at all. And as we know growing up here, anytime you avoid 105, 106 on 4th of July, you're fortunate. It's a good 10-day. Hope you enjoy it, and the usual proviso, be very careful around any waterway, but in particular, stay away from the rivers. One more time, you're hot, it looks real tempting, except that water is a lot colder than you think, and the current carries you along in a way you can't imagine, so avoid that, and even around the lakes or the backyard pools, be careful, but stay away from the rivers. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend. That's our buddy Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 26th anniversary. Joe is over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can always reach him at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there for you. And also, more importantly than anything else, the great emphasis on the quality of valves. If you're someone who works around a valve, if you're a tanker delivery person, if you're a plant maintenance worker, if you work around a boiler, maybe you work at a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve for the productivity of their business, if that valve goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry, and then you take that catastrophic financial hit. Joe not only has personalized service, it's a place where you don't get a bunch of voicemails. You're able to get people on the phone, and obviously if you go in person, you've got somebody there who can listen to your issues and solve them in a big hurry. It's a same-day service proposition, same-day estimates. Joe is there. It's the reason he's had such great success. He's made such a personalized touch. And after he's done addressing your needs, if you have a few minutes, he will tell you from a personal standpoint what he has done as a benefactor at Fresno State for over three decades now, and will tell you at the moment the best way to go about any kind of benefit for Fresno State is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there at the top. You can't miss it. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org has a link, Club Red, which is for former student-athletes to get involved. That's under that header. The major giving societies, the Green Bee Society, Myers Champion Circle, have their links there. And then under ways to give, you have Valley Co-op, the very important matching funds entity. Valley Fueled is there. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to an individual sport. For instance, Quarterback Club for football, Timeout Club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig with me every week to talk basketball. On the board of directors, Timeout Club, he said they'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much, and it's a place where the talk is beyond just the social aspects. A lot of inside information is there during those meetings. And so Jack has said, you know what, if you have a few minutes, give him a call or hit him up on his email. Call on his cell, 559-287-3305, or his email, ferdyjack@aol.com. He will tell you exactly what you can do to join the Timeout Club. And we mentioned the other day that the young businessmen getting together to benefit basketball, helping Vance out, that's really important because that's part of that grassroots effort that we're looking for to make things happen at Fresno State as we start the very big competition of the Pac-12 in just a few days, as a matter of fact, and on the field in just a couple of months. Also, there are links for other sports under ways to give, including Dugout Club for baseball, other men's and women's sports as well. And then finally, the singular word more is there. That link will tell you just that, more information about tickets and parking on campus, how you can order through iPhone or Android. It's a really important one-stop shopping group that you'll find there at GoBulldogs.com. And then finally, we start officially on July 1 with the partnership at Fresno State, not only the flagship with 1430 and 790 for both men's and women's sports, but also Bulldog Sports Enterprises, so very important because it's the first time ever you have a local group, Chris's group, joining in partnership with Fresno State to try to drive things financially forward at the university. It's not an out-of-town group taking their cut and then running away. This is to directly benefit the station in a cooperative effort with the radio station. If you want more information, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the phone number there. You can talk to Chris or to Nico. You can talk to Ryan or to Enrique, anybody down there. If you want to get involved, sponsorship and helping out Fresno State, what you do with the station, with the Bulldogs, going to benefit Fresno State as well. So it's very, very important, and we look forward to the relationship that we'll have moving forward. We had it a few years back. This one is truly a locally based proposition. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz for everything he has done for us and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supplies, right there for you at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. Thanks, as always, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Tell you more about his business later on. And thanks, of course, to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now on that Lee's Air hotline, mark it down, 559-320-1430. It is the King of the Bark Board, the young man who is turning into an old man right before our eyes. It's Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing? Doing just fine. Again, you write them, I read them. That's all there is to it. How old are you now, by the way?
I am 34.
34. Okay. I'm not going to say anything else. You're 34. I have two words for you. Okay. It's not happy birthday. Okay. Okay. Let me hone in on this for you. Two words, seven letters. Okay. Actually, technically six letters, because there's one letter that's the same in both the first word and the second word. You could go ahead and guess what I'm trying to tell you. All right. But it's the same thing I say to you off air all the time. Anyway, thanks for being a good sport once again, as if, again, you have a choice. All right, a lot talked about here, Paisan. Let's start with the recruiting and football. A couple of years ago, I mentioned to you seeing Harris, the wideout at Central, that Van looked like a man among boys out there. And it was reflected in the state playoffs because the media in L.A. is saying the same thing. And I said, at that time, does Fresno State have any shot at him? And you said, well, you know what? At this point, it's very, very early in the recruiting process in his junior year. Now he is committed to Fresno State. It's a great get, Jackson. So two questions for you. One, where does this rank on the gets of local guys in recent vintage? And two, are you surprised that Matt Entz and the coaching staff able to do this with a really talented young man?
Yeah, I mean, this one is huge. This was probably the prospect in this class locally that I kind of assumed would get away from Fresno State. He already had a few big offers earlier in the process. Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA all came after him. And after what he did in the state championship game, to top off a huge season, 26 touchdowns, almost 2,000 yards receiving, 86 catches, I believe it was. And plus he's 6'3", 205. He's just impressive-looking young man. I think Gabe referred to him as the Megatron of high school football, and I think that's a good explanation. He is just a big athlete that's very tough to stop on defense. And usually those are the kind of guys that go get those big offers and take them. But a little bit of a different recruiting process. I think he's almost so big. I think some schools wanted to make him a tight end and were maybe looking for a little more of a sleeker receiver, and that's, I think, fine by Fresno State. They'll be glad to take Bayon Harris, even though maybe some other schools that are usually offering types like him didn't appear to this time around. I know it seemed like as Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA started filling up their class that this was becoming more and more realistic that Fresno State might have a shot here. So a big get for Fresno State. I think Bayon, him and Damaje Riley are the two big-time athletes in this class, and they're both on very opposite ends of the athlete spectrum, Harris being kind of a jumbo receiver and Riley being 5'9", both not exactly like the do-it-all receiver that you put anywhere, but two that fit a very niche role and two that are going to be big-time weapons for Fresno State. And then you've got two more. A.J. Williams is another tall receiver coming out of Clovis West, previously Hanford, and Rolando Jefferson is that do-it-all type receiver who is about 6'2", 6'3", maybe a little more on the athletic side, not so much a 50-50 red zone type of guy. So they got a little bit of everything here, and even though not all of them had a huge flurry of massive offers, they all had attractive options that they could have chosen to left the Valley for, and they opted to stay here. Fresno State prioritized them very highly. It's an impressive class, but the fact that they're all local is pretty amazing as well. I think maybe Deegan Rose sticking around maybe helped kick that off a little bit. And again, big kudos to Delvon Hardaway for recruiting all four of these guys to stay home. Maybe like a Jalen Cropper might be a singular better prospect, but I can't remember a class where you have this deep of a position haul from the Valley. It's just really amazing to see.
Well, we talked too about Delvon, what might have been here if his health would have held up. He just never got a chance to be, I think, the kind of receiver he could have been, and now he's of great benefit, of course, for the staff. The situation with Harris is interesting, and you touched upon it, Jackson. It's one of those situations where has been, in his high school days, so physically dominant. It's hard, I think, for some recruiters to get a handle on exactly how it's going to equate to college. I think you and I are in agreement that he's going to be outstanding. But it was a man among boys. I mean, it really was. I mean, he would get in the secondary, and you would have defensive backs and safeties who had no chance. I mean, he would just catch a pass over the middle. He would just flat run people over, for goodness sake. Are there anything about the measurables, and I'm not talking about the physical aspect, but 40, anything where there has been any hesitancy at all other parts of the country? Is it just they don't know how good he can be?
Yeah, I think probably the issue is that he's so big and he's so athletic that coaches, scouts, they see that kind of guy and they want to put him somewhere else. And I don't think Harris was too interested in playing anything besides receiver, even tight end. I think you had a lot of people look just at his frame and how big he is and think And if this guy puts 10, 20 pounds on, he could be a heck of a tight end. And I think Harris sees himself more as a receiver. It's also interesting in this class, too. You know, he's got four receivers now, and I think that's probably more than they anticipated taking, but the talent was just there, and you had them all wanting to stay. You weren't going to turn that down, but you know, maybe that opens the door for someone to look at another position down the road. And just Harris, with his size, has the ability to go elsewhere, but I think he's just so talented at receiver. You know, you just find a way to make it work. And I think he's going to be just fine, especially at this level. You know, maybe you go up a notch, you're looking at maybe a different story. But I would love to have a 6'3", even 215 receiver going up against Pac-12 defensive backs. So I'll take that matchup if I'm Fresno State.
Right. The other thing is, you talk about how big he is. He is not that much bigger than Devontae Adams. And so you talk about somebody who obviously not only a great career at Fresno State, but a Hall of Fame career in the National Football League. And the thing we keep talking about our Mount Rushmore, right? It's hard for me because I'm pulling for Devontae to be the first of our four on that Mount Rushmore. Obviously, Derek has to come back and play if he's going to have a shot. Paul George, one more time this year, did not have the full opportunity because of the health of the Sixers, and obviously his issue as well, where he was out for 25 games. But Aaron Judge now is out, so we wonder if Aaron's going to be the next guy. If Devontae is the guy, that's the good news. The bad news is it means the Rams win another Super Bowl. And you and I both know that outside of Devontae winning, we don't want that to happen, do we, Jackson? Come on. I'm just trying to get you in trouble. Ram fans, don't email me. You know, if the 49ers aren't in, I still won't pull for the Rams. I'm telling you. But I'm pulling for Devontae, and we're good. You want to add anything to that? And, oh, by the way, I do want to mention, we still have the 49ers and Rams games and Raider games coming up, so in the way of promotion. You want to clean – you can't expect me after all these years, except pulling for Bulldogs like Ronnie Rivers when he's on the roster, or Devontae. You can't expect me after all of these years of oppression by the Rams before the 49ers started beating their brains in for a couple of decades. You can't expect me to pull for the Rams, can you?
No, you're just, I never thought I'd pull for the Raiders, but once Derek got there, it changed my perspective on teams.
That can change the dynamic. And if the 49ers aren't going to make it, and I'll say this, what I said to Ferdy the other day, three of the top six odds to win the Super Bowl all happen the rest in the same division. So, like real estate, location, 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 right? You have the defending Super Bowl champion, Seahawks there. The Rams are going to be great. And the 49ers are going to try to stay healthy for a year, which has been almost impossible. But they do have to play one another, and there are four games, obviously, between those groups that have to be there as you get to play home and home. And it's going to, the 49ers case, all over the country and all over the world, because they and the Rams will open up in Australia, and the 49ers still have to go to Mexico. It's going to be very, very difficult. But I am pulling for Devontae if the Rams are last man standing. And to my point, there isn't that much of a physical disparity between Harris starting at Fresno State and Adams, correct?
Yeah, well, currently, and that's the scary part, because Harris might keep growing, he might keep bulking up. So by the time he does play for Fresno State, he might outsize Adams a little more. But Devontae came in, he was pretty much filled out by the time he was a freshman. I remember he had some clearinghouse issues, and he redshirted his first year when Pat Hill was still here. And I was just thinking, man, who is this kid that was sitting on the side? They need to get him on the field ASAP. So we'll see how Harris looks when he gets to campus.
Yeah, well, Devontae was a little bit lighter. There's no doubt about that, weight-wise. But you said he wasn't a small receiver by any means. All right, speaking of guys from Central High School, what is the circumstance with Jones right now? That would be a huge get, and I know he's got, what, a decision coming up on Sunday. Is that right?
Yeah, Xavier Jones, three-star athlete there at Central East. He's going to decide on Sunday between four Pac-12 schools, and these are the same four schools that seem to be fighting for a lot of the same recruits. It's Fresno State, San Diego State, Oregon State, Washington State. So he took official visits to all four, and had really good things to say about all four of them, so it does feel like one that could go a variety of different ways. I think Fresno State feels pretty good about what they've done locally, and having two of his teammates now with both Bayon Harris and Rolando Jefferson committed, you know, try to get that third Central East Bengal into the fold here, which is pretty wild considering Fresno State had not gotten a Central East scholarship commit since 2005 straight out of high school, and now they have a chance to get three in one class here. There's been a lot of big-time athletes that have come out of there the last decade or so, and it would be a huge haul if they could pull it off. But he's going to commit on Sunday. He's a two-way athlete. He can play receiver, too. Some of these schools that are recruiting him, he might very well be on offense, but with what the Bulldogs have done already, they'd really like to put him at cornerback, where the Bulldogs do not have an active commitment in this class. Pretty much cornerback and quarterback are the only two spots. So this would not only be a great local get, but it would be a nice need filler as well for the class.
By the way, Rich has just emailed in, and the email says, "Re the Rams, that two-word offer you have for Jackson is the two words I'm also offering to you, Tony." Thanks, Rich. I'm glad you took it in the spirit of which it was intended, which I guess he did, come to think of it. All right. I don't want to make you the prognosticator here, but you know for sure that Jones is going to be in the Pac-12. Any inkling that he's going to stay, or is it really? You and I talked off air that he was effusive in praise of every visit that he made, so he certainly did not tip his hand. He's a very wise young man. But what about it? Is there any inkling about where you think he might go, or is it really that much? We'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah, it does seem pretty open. I know, you know, Fresno State has a lot of stuff going for him here. Washington State also, they've made a little bit, not compared to Fresno State, but compared to the other two that he had to fly to visit. It seemed like the Cougars were on him a little bit harder. They had him in the spring make a flight up there for an unofficial visit on top of the official. So I've been watching the Bulldogs and the Cougars here. Some buzz for Oregon State, too. And again, as you mentioned, he had nice things to say about everyone, so you don't count out San Diego State either. But I think there's some momentum coming for the Bulldogs here, and it's not a guarantee, but, you know, definitely have a shot on Sunday to try to pull that one in.
Anybody else beyond that, Jackson, that you're waiting on here privately, or are we still, I mean, are we pretty much toward the end of it? I mean, we're talking about 2027, first of all, so there's a long way to go, but anybody else who's right and the proximity of making a decision that's going to impact Fresno State?
No, there's still a few. I put out a feature at the beginning of the week about five recruits that the Bulldogs are still battling for at the end of official visit season, and Harris and Jones were two of them. So if they could get both of them, especially the two locals, that would be a big dent in that list. The other big one is quarterback Colter Tannehill, who officially visited Fresno State and UNLV, and still waiting on a decision there. So that would, of course, at that position too, at quarterback, that's a big part of the class that Fresno State hasn't filled. Got some action going on the defensive line, too. So even though there's 21 commitments in the class right now, I'm probably looking more like 25 by the time it's all said and done. And you know, especially if they connect here on these immediate prospects. If not, we'll see some of these situations linger into the fall.
Well, Matt Ensign, this coaching staff, has done a great job so far. And as you mentioned, being able to have that relationship with Central East is very, very important. It's been a football factory over the last several years. And Kyle Biggs and those guys have done a great, great job there, and it's nice to see the guys staying home. And hopefully we're going to hear one more on Sunday. We'll see. Speaking of recruiting, want to ask you basketball-wise about Jordan Green. Well, what about it? I talked to Furtick about him the other day, coming from that same prep high school in Phoenix, not from Phoenix originally, I think he's from Atlanta originally, but in that prep realm, same way that we saw guys up in the Bay Area, we saw it here, of course, happen when you have people leaving San Joaquin Memorial to go up to prep because you're getting ready to take the next step, as Jalen Green did. But this Green, Jordan Green, no relation, by the way, Purdy had mentioned that when he talked to John Welch in the house about this, they say he's kind of a bigger version of Deshaun Gorey, who came through the same school. What do you know about the young men from your point of view?
Yeah, well, first off, if you mentioned from Phoenix Prep, it's same pipeline here now. Bulldogs had DeShawn Gorey last season. They bring in Anthony Granger this season, and then they'll have Jordan Green next season. All of them wing players. You're kind of versatile, 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight athlete that can shoot threes, can dunk, can do some things off the dribble. You know exactly the kind of players you want on the wings in this scheme. So a great early get for Fresno State. I think you know, a lot of the recruits Fresno State has pulled in over the course of the last couple of seasons, particularly the freshmen, you know, not a whole lot of fanfare around, but Green has, he comes in with 25 other scholarship offers under his belt. So a lot of schools wanted him. A lot of schools have been pursuing him and have been bringing him in on visits. And it feels like Fresno State kind of just swooped in here the last couple of months and swept him away from everyone that was running after him. So a good get with his recruiting resume, also with his athleticism. We've got him at 6'8", 175. A nice mature player for the 27 class who has been on the radar for a while. And like the football recruits we mentioned, not for this year's team, but for the following year's team. So I think that's interesting as well, just because we saw in this last year's recruiting roster, this roster build that the Bulldogs have had with 14 new players coming in, 13 that we know of so far. They didn't bring in a freshman until February, and they ended up signing three freshmen. So to have a recruit here in June, what, 8-9 months earlier than this past year's cycle, that already checks off one box for the following year's team at least, which if you've got 14 boxes to fill, it's nice to get an early start.
Again, slightly, maybe an inch bigger, at least listed than Gorey, although you never know. We've talked before that usually you remove 2 inches and about 25 pounds. You can't do that with Gorey. He was thin to begin with. But what Ferdy was mentioning, that the coaching staff had passed along to him, and of course, you know, this is not an official proposition until everything is finalized, and we know you never say never the way things go. But right now, he is certainly a guy that's coveted for Fresno State, and by acclamation is a better outside shooter than Gorey, who does like the mid-range and did attack the basket a lot here, made a couple of big threes, but was not a consistent three-point shooter. And also, Ferdy mentioned that, as we had talked, Gorey did not leave here because he was upset about anything. He wished he could have stayed. And the pipeline is he's kind of maybe regretting that he left, except that the money was better in Corvallis. So that's the reality of what we're dealing with, right?
Yeah, and it's one, because of that that context behind the situation, you almost wonder if you could have another Brian M. unique situation next year. If Gorey doesn't play so well that more schools are coming after him with even more money, maybe it's a situation where he could come back. When you see with what Fresno State's doing on the recruiting trail with Phoenix Prep, they are keeping a lot of the right connections in good status here. A lot of the same people in Gorey's corner are helping some of these other recruits come Fresno State's way. So not impossible for a reunion, depending on how Gorey does up in Corvallis.
What is your view right now of the Bulldogs' current roster that we're going to see? It's not basketball-wise. It's going to be a hyper-competitive conference. We know that. Without question, there's more talent there. Is it still the issue that, as you and I have discussed over and over again, Vance really cannot implement the system the way he wants because he just doesn't have the guys here long enough? At least now with this group, you can't count on it. Is it just trying to get these guys to mesh to play with one another, Jackson, and keep it as simple as possible? Or is there enough time to get intricate with this team, given the fact that everybody's, you know, name tags for a lot of the guys as they started the summer, right?
I think it's tough to go all the way with what you want to do there. And I think even with what we've seen the last 2 years, it seems like it's been a process where I think this team's one thing, and then within the first couple of games, it might change rather dramatically. We went into last season thinking Makan Juf was going to be a cornerstone, and within a few games, he was on the bench, and DeShawn Gorey was all of a sudden the key piece. So you know, you might design something to go one way, and then you have to change a bit about what you do. So I think first thing first, you just try to elevate the talent level, and I think they've done that here. I think if you have more three-point shooting, more offensive ability, hopefully more of a presence in the post to keep, or at least equal to last year, and try to keep building on that. Still waiting on another center to join the roster, but if you put the groundwork in, you know, at least as you go on the fly, it gives you a better shot to be successful. Again, last year we saw, well, there's going to be a huge roster turnover, as we've seen, but last year there was continuity at point guard, which is one spot where you assume they can initiate the offense and maybe even the press and try to build off what they had done the previous year. And still, even with Zion back last year, that a lot of that stuff wasn't able to be executed. So I think you start from the ground up with this team, and I think the talent level's improved, and it's just a little bit of a wait and see there how everything meshes together.
I know it's mentioned on the board, and I brought it up the other day, that you have some of the young businessmen, four of them, getting together to try to benefit the basketball program. Is this the start, the tip of the iceberg toward this thing, Jackson? I know we're all hopeful of that. The involvement of the younger generation is critical. We've talked about the original Bulldog Foundation guys have by and large aged out, and now you have the guys more of my generation that are putting a lot of that bill for trying to move things forward. You need the guys in that generation or two behind. Are you optimistic? The guys of your age, for instance, are going to be able to get this done, have the willingness to get it done in addition to the wherewithal?
Well, that's an exciting development. And of course, hope that it continues to build and more people join on. Just, I know Fresno State basketball hasn't won as many games for quite a few years now as people would like to see, but you also know Coach Vance Wahlberg is, and his camp, they're putting a lot of money and gathering a lot of money without a whole lot of help from other sources. And so you wonder, I know some people wonder what would happen if another coach was in. Would the team be more successful? But we do know a lot of dollars would disappear right away if that would happen. And is it going to come from another coach who's not connected in this area? Or, you know, can the community start to supplement some of those funds? And so what would be great is if Coach Wahlberg, he's got bringing in cash and he's successful and the community buys in. That's the absolute best case scenario. So, you know, hopefully the ball keeps rolling here, the team gets better and more money keeps coming in and it all trims in the right direction, and you don't have to worry too much about what the alternative might be.
Well, you and I were talking the other day about Mark Madsen, of course, who was a fine player at Stanford and his coach at Cal. And like I said, the worst dancer ever in the history of NBA championship celebrations, by the way. But he said that at Cal, they're basically at a $10 million deficit as far as being able to acquire and hold on to players. I hope it is not going to be that severe at Fresno State. Are you surprised by that number at Cal? You've published that board for so many years. Is that the reality of dealing with the ACC right now?
Well, if you're Cal and you're in the same ACC as Duke, I'm not surprised. Duke and North Carolina and those type of basketball powers, they probably do have $10 million plus, and they can probably pluck away the Golden Bears that they want. So that is the reality they're living in. And for Fresno State, we talk a lot about football. You know, if you at least confine it to the Pac-12, you know, the Bulldogs aren't in a big deficit when it comes to football. You know, if you're Cal and you confine it to the ACC, you're in a bad spot compared to the juggernauts. But Pac-12 basketball, that's where we've seen, even coming out of the Mountain West, some of those same schools have huge advantages over Fresno State when it comes to NIL. The schools that have had successful basketball for some time and have continued to be able to invest in it and pull in NIL dollars, that is a spot where Fresno State, it's not $10 million, I don't think, but it is a pretty significant number. And again, the right people are in place to try to bridge that gap, but you know, still got to win basketball games some way, somehow, to keep moving forward with that.
From the football end, Jackson, how tough is it right now financially? Do you know? For Fresno State.
Yeah, well, I think this high school recruiting class is a good showing here that Fresno State's in, they're not behind in terms of NIL dollars or, you know, finances for freshmen. I think most schools in the Pac-12 are not putting much financial resources into the incoming freshmen. It's going to be more about retaining players and acquiring transfers, but that's a good sign. You see Fresno State winning a lot of these battles against similar Pac-12 schools. They're keeping players home. You know, there's not other programs coming into the Valley and flashing dollars at Central Valley Talent, maybe one or two, but Fresno State, for the most part, has been able to keep them. And then also a lot of the head-to-head battles. You see linebacker Jeremy Davis commits to Fresno State after even going to Boise State for a visit. You know, that's a series of events that hasn't played very well in the Bulldogs' favors in most cases, but it did in this class. So it looks good there. I think we've seen on the retainment side, Richie Anderson did get away from Fresno State, but virtually no one else that the Bulldogs wanted to keep left to do the financial reasons. So that's huge. And then the nature of this staff and what they're doing. You know, they want to put themselves in the best situation possible to have players ready to go rather than go into the portal. And you know, if you've got Keontre Harris, let's say a cornerback who may be starting for the Bulldogs this year, who has not played much college football at all, that's going to be a lot cheaper than trying to get a cornerback in the portal who's got starting experience. So you got to be right about your evaluations, and you got to be good enough to develop them. But I think across the board, Fresno State's in a pretty healthy spot now. If and when there's a change of the guard, we'll see how that impacts things. But the staff is doing very well, and hopefully they stay doing well for a long time.
Talked over and over again, you know, Paul and I were kidding around about the number of years he's been on the air with me. And you have been on the earth now for a good long time as well. I'd like to say, well, way back then, we just talked about could we get into a conference where the monies were equal and the schedule was such that, again, teams couldn't dodge you because they have to play you home and home in various years. I'd like to think it's, well, you know what, that was so long. Jackson, just a few years ago, 5-6 years ago, we were talking about the way college was structured. And I don't think we ever dreamt we would be in this situation. We are, said we talked about over and over again, NIL, name, image, and likeness. Never mind the transfer portal. That's solvable. I think they'll take large steps with the 5-5. But name, image, and likeness is supposed to be, one more time, about your performance then leading to the benefit of sponsorship, not like a draft would be in the NFL or the NBA. You have potential to be good, so I'm going to pay you on that potential. There's nothing wrong with that if it's a professional league. That was not the intent of NIL. That's not what the O'Bannon brothers started the lawsuit about. They started about their name, image, and likeness being in video games, and they were only there because of their performance already on the court, and it just frustrates me to no end that the judicial system, certain judges could not understand that premise, and they have turned college, as we've talked a million times, on its head. I don't know how, as you've mentioned, you get the genie back in the bottle or the, you know, the toothpaste back in the tube. It's going to be really, really difficult, but it is hard every day to talk about you can't develop a system or you're developing players and then having them taken away by somebody else's bigger checkbook. It's just really tough. I'm trying to adjust to it. Some days I can rationalize it. Other days it just really hacks me off. Of course, you know, talking to me, that's my entire life anyway, either being rational or hacked off, as you know, usually in the same conversation within 5 minutes, as you know. All right. Real quickly, in the last couple of minutes, I want to ask you about Sorsby. CFL has now said he can't play there either. Now, keep in mind, their season starts in a big hurry. The NFL fell back on that. We don't have enough time to vet this. You didn't give us enough opportunity. Jeffrey Kessler, the lawyer for Sorsby, has said that it's a violation of the CBA, that he's going to sue about that, or at least says the possibility he'll sue. The reality for Sorsby right now is he is all dressed up with nowhere to go. Is that how it's going to be for this year? Is he going to sit and then the NFL will grudgingly allow him into the draft in April of 27? Is that your take on this?
It looks like it, and you know, he's in his spot because he put himself there, but also that, I mean, we were just talking about like a week ago, it seemed like it was the perfect solution for him to do what he did and gets college out of that mess and moves on to the pros, and it seemed like he was wanted by some franchises, and now all of a sudden the college is selfishly out of that mess, and but he's on an island with nowhere to go, so that looks like he's on his way to being stuck right now, and it's tough for him because had he not made that move, it seems like he probably would have gotten on the field in college. It was with the ruling that was made, but I'm, again, from the college perspective, I'm glad they were able to move past it, and you know, they made the chips fall where they may for him, unfortunately.
Well, I'll tell you this, as I let you go, and again, people check the board, what, 50% off still on the board right now?
Yeah, it's currently 50% off a year to join. Gets you in for a little over $5 a month. And, again, got a lot of recruiting stuff going up here. And over the next week, still some more decisions to go. And then July is a big month for us, breaking down the current team and getting ready for fall camp. So it's going to keep going.
Well worth it, the insider board at GoBulldogs.com or at barboard.com. Yeah, what I was going to say, Jackson, is this. If the advice that Sorsby got, and I don't know, only he knows and his family and his representatives, if the advice was, listen, don't go through this in college football right now because there are some teams that may refuse to play. It's going to create chaos within your own conference. It's a PR nightmare. We know the NFL will take you because of your talent. If that's why he decided to jump out of, like you said, an injunction that was not going to be adjudicated unless Congress stepped in, was not going to be adjudicated until after the season finished in February. If he jumped out of that because he thought the NFL was going to let him in, he has got to be one disappointed guy. But the bottom line is, while we wish him well, as you referenced, if Brendan Sorsby wants to know who's to blame, all he has to do is look in the mirror. And I know he says it's a sickness. Okay, get help. But don't think the league, particularly in something that is a PR nightmare, the biggest fear they have, the gambling process, even though they've aligned themselves now with gambling legally, you can't expect the league, particularly at short notice like this, to acquiesce. And so I hope he got the right advice, and I hope that he's able to make his life what it should be going forward. And I'm with the people that say he shouldn't be playing this year regardless. Jackson, appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto co-host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 252, about 3 minutes ago on the show. Thanks again to Jackson for his time. He'll be back with me next week. Right now, I want to talk about the upcoming schedule for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we commend Ed for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. Again, the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. Ed has one of the great businesses in the Valley and really all the way across the country. As far as the lineup goes, the regular shows now exponentially have taken another jump forward. Already great and now even better as Gonzo's back with his show 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday, and that's the Valley Rise show. Phil, of course, has his long-running and great show After Us, which is Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. They have the Red, White, and Blue sale going on right now. El Paso across from River Park. The great conversation of Phil's show on Thursdays there. Always the best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats as well when Phil is in. Give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline. Call Gonzo as well during his show, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two very good shows on 790. He's got the Sunbird Sports Show all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, and his long-running show on 1430 on Saturday mornings, live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon, and that is Central Valley Sports Report. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1, at att.net. First names are fine. But the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com, get the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. Mentioned beginning July 1 with a flagship of Fresno State, and of course, Bulldog Sports Enterprises front and center. Contact anybody at the station for more information about that. And then finally, as far as the lineup goes for today and over the weekend, the Giants wait the Braves, 6:45 tonight, 7:15, the first pitch at Oracle. The A's head to Anaheim to play the Angels, a 6:38 start, ladies and gentlemen, which means a 6:03 pregame. That's the way it works at Anaheim, and those teams, both sets, will play over the weekend, and we'll tell you all about it when we come around the bend on Monday. Anyway, thanks to Riley on the board. Thanks to Jackson Moore for his time, and thank yous go out, as always, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Have a wonderful weekend. Paul Leffler back with me on Monday. And Phil, of course, has 2 hours coming up right after us. Give him a call on that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. Have a wonderful weekend. See you on Monday on KFIG Fresno.